SMA News Today, daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy.
Hello, and welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 1. I am your host, Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today. Joining me today is Christine Getman. Christine, welcome.
Hey there.
Christine is an SMA advocate and manager of the nonprofit organization Magic Wheelchair, which builds customized costumes for children in wheelchairs. So today we'll be talking with her about her work with this organization, as well as her day-to-day life and disability advocacy. So Christine, thanks for joining us. Just to start off, tell us a little about your story and how you became involved with Magic Wheelchair.
Sure. I was diagnosed with SMA type 2 when I was 14 months old and got my first wheelchair when I was 2 and lived a pretty normal life up until the time when I received my tracheostomy. That's when I was 12. That was a big life-changing but also life-saving experience. And then, after a year of recovery, I got right back on track and continued with high school and college and entered the workforce. And then from there, I started with another nonprofit, worked my way up the nonprofit ladder. And just a few months ago, actually, it's like major fast forward of my life. just a few months ago, a friend of mine sent me a job listing for Magic Wheelchair, and I happened to be in Boston for another SMA trial. And in my head, I'm like, no, I can't work right now. I'm a guinea pig. I don't have time for this. But it kept coming back to my brain. I couldn't stop thinking about it, and a couple weeks later, I checked the job listing again, and it was still posted, so I reached out, just submitted my application, and within 2 weeks, I was employed with Magic Wheelchair, and it turns out that our founder, Ryan Weimer, his kiddos also have SMA, and we had met 10 years prior at MDA camp, so just crazy how it all came together and was pretty meant to be, really.
Yeah, talk about small world there. That's crazy. But
totally, yeah.
And you're a manager, correct?
My title's always ever changing, but I sign my email with development director right now.
Okay, gotcha. Nice.
I focus on fundraising and program development.
Okay, gotcha. And so the organization they create customized costumes for kids in wheelchairs. So can you just talk about how, I know you're not the founder, but just how that idea came about, and as well as what kind of responsibilities you have, just anything else about the organization you want to say.
Totally. So the idea originated because Ryan started building costumes for his kids, and he just really wanted to incorporate their wheelchairs and make them, not stand out because of their wheelchair, but stand out because of their sweet costumes. And, what started it and founded the idea was the way the community accepted his kids, and, for one day out of the year, they were the stars. Everyone was just obsessed with their costumes and obsessed the way that it included them was just life-changing for him. And so that story started actually on Kickstarter. And, they started with the Kickstarter to build one costume, which is Toothless, from How to Train Your Dragon. And then each year, they upped the ante a little more. And then they became founded. So that's how that started. It's just really the way that the community welcomes and includes kiddos once they can just be a part of the fun was really powerful. For him. But my role now, I help with everything. We have volunteers and families both submit applications, and then we match them up based on proximity. So we build nationwide, all the way to Florida to New York. We do have some worldwide international teams, but this year we're focusing on this national build for Halloween. And each one is customized for each kiddo. So it's their idea. It's whatever they ask for. Mm-hmm. And then our builders fit it to their wheelchair. So sometimes it's, based on their mobility needs. If they have higher medical needs, we don't encapsulate them as much as, you know, a kiddo who doesn't need as much and they just want to be totally swarmed in their costume. So each one is entirely customized based on their needs.
That's great. And you go a lot to around to Comic-Cons and other conventions to promote it as well?
We do. You know, in this last year, first it was all about Halloween, and then we realized the power of inclusive cosplay and how there's a huge need for that at cons around the world. Because, you know, you can dress up in costume, but so many people have this limiting idea that you're not the character with your wheelchair showing. And so we kind of stepped it up and, you know, we upgrade. I feel like our cosplay chairs are a little more intense than the Halloween costume because they're committing to be this character and to cosplay as this character for life. So we have a few of those right now. And I think that's going to be a huge jump in the next year. You're going to see a lot more magic wheelchair costumes being revealed throughout the year at cons versus for Halloween.
That's cool.
And it's really fun.
I can imagine. And well, with that, do you have any favorite costumes you've seen recently as far as the ones that either a child asked for that was really original or that you guys were able to create?
Oh, man, they're so great. I'll name a few that I love. So I love the Indominus Rex, and that's one of the first ones, the big gray dinosaur. I love him because I got to ride him at the last Heroes and Villains.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool. Yeah, super funny. Recently, we did a My Little Pony, and I loved that just because of the content and the color, and it was different than what we normally do. You should definitely check out those photos on our Instagram or Facebook. In the works right now, I'm very excited for Predator. So I've seen it. The world hasn't seen it yet. We've got, I think we're 9 days away from that reveal. It's insane. That's all I can say.
I can't wait to see that.
The way the community came together for that one, we've got a lot of really cool names involved, you know, adding little pieces here and there. And that kiddo, he's in L.A., and Predator's now his favorite movie because he wanted to see what his parents watched in the 80s. And they watched Predator together, and it became a fam favorite. So it's just amazing. That one's close to me. I love that one. I can't wait to see it in person on the kiddo. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, and then we have another really cool build happening. Ryan is creating for his son. Instead of picking a costume or a character out of a movie, he drew it himself. So it's just a character, a creature that he made up.
And oh, wow.
Ryan is bringing it to life for Keaton. And I think I really like that idea where we can take the kiddo's imagination and bring it to life.
Absolutely. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, the Predator kid has really good taste, too. That's cool.
Yeah, totally. I think all of our builders are slightly jealous of that particular one.
I'm jealous just hearing about it, so yeah, that's cool.
We have a lot of Moanas and a lot of Frozens, but everyone's probably envious of Predator.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds great, and I'm sure you'll get plenty of traction with Halloween coming up. So that's your work with Magic Wheelchair. Now you also do a lot of disability advocacy within the SMA community. You and I were both at the Patient-Focused Drug Development Conference in April in Maryland, which was organized by both Cure SMA and the FDA. Just as an SMA individual, being able to share your story and hear the stories of others, what was that experience like for you?
You know, it was really powerful and really empowering and really eye-opening. I'd never been immersed in the Type 1 community like I was at that conference. It was very eye-opening because I feel like our concerns are all the same, I think our focus in our day-to-day life is very, very different. And so I really appreciated being immersed in that experience. It was also a challenging conference because usually I do the like happy-go-lucky inspirational, you know, we all do that role. And for the first time, I really challenged myself to be extremely vulnerable and explain what's really going on and what my concerns and what life is really like. Usually I just, you know, I say that the high level challenges and how I overcome them. And this time I got really personal. And, you know, I was nervous to speak to some of the aspects, but I think in the end it was worth my nerves, just for others, I hope. I hope that's the case, at least.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you and I were talking about that beforehand, and I felt the same way in terms of it was, you know, challenging but rewarding to be that vulnerable, for sure. But
yeah,
also,
I was just, you know, we both talked about it, but I feel like this is such an amazing opportunity and platform and audience that I couldn't stay in my comfort zone. It was too important.
Absolutely. And for listeners out there, you can actually see on YouTube all of the panels from that day. So you can hear Christine's speech and all of the other panelists. It's there on, I think, the Cure SMA YouTube channel. And it's available on SMA News today as well. But so on that note, you know, obviously the conference was very centered around Spinraza because it had just been approved a few months earlier. So you recently started receiving the treatment. You've had two injections so far, correct?
Yes, okay. I had two injections. I'm 1 week out from my second dose.
Okay.
What a whirlwind of the last 6 months. That's
I can imagine, yeah.
Honestly, when I was speaking on that panel, I had no expectation of actually receiving treatment. I know that was the focus of my talk, and I was trying to stress the importance, but it wasn't really about me, and I seriously didn't think I'd be receiving that particular drug.
Sure.
So I'm just in awe of the way things have unfolded recently.
Sure. Well, and what, you know, I know it's a very complex process, but just in a nutshell, kind of how did those first two times go, just as an SMA adult? I know it's going to be a little different than, you know, the kids who are receiving it. So what was the process like for you?
It was interesting. It was really challenging because when I checked in on that first dosing day, I was a little uncertain of the way things were going to go down. Mm-hmm. And the doctor came in and we had a chat about, you know, the procedure. I didn't fully understand the position I would be placed in, all these other uncertainties. And he told me, you know, this doesn't mean you're getting the drug. He said, we're not positive. We can get the needle in or spine your sickle sac is what they call it, where the spinal fluid is. And that made me very nervous because I realized, you know, how, you know, even on dosing day where everyone else is celebrating and rejoicing in this opportunity, I'm trying to be happy and grateful, but I'm also terrified that it won't get in. So it was just a real, really emotional day. The first procedure, I think they spent about 30 minutes with the needle in my back until we were able to find where the fluid was. And there was this moment, I remember, where I thought he was just going to give up and pull out and say, we can't get it. I remember closing my eyes. I had the sweaty hands. It was a very intense sensation. They were hitting nerves, you know, all sorts of things I wasn't expecting to feel. And then all of a sudden, the whole room started celebrating because I was dripping out, which sounds disgusting, but that's what you celebrate when you're doing a spinal tap. So, yeah, it was amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad it was successful then. You're very right in that, yeah, it's definitely a lot of nerves going in and anxiety. So, but thank you for sharing that, though.
I will say I have a spinal fusion and I'm almost fully fused. So miraculously, there's a tiny little hole really low, lower than they would normally do the injection. And that's why it was such a challenge getting dosed, because that far down near your tailbone, the column gets really thin. And so that's the challenge with dosing adults with fusions, is you don't know if you'll get in.
Absolutely. It's definitely a concern for many adults going in. You know, I've had a spinal fusion as well, so definitely understand there. But thank you for sharing that. So I guess just that you're running a little low on time, but just to kind of wrap up, so, you know, you certainly have a lot on your plate with Magic Wheelchair, all the advocacy work you do. You're also engaged, so congratulations.
Thank you.
When's the wedding, by the way?
I don't know.
No worries.
We're pushing it off. It's like, you know, we were going to do last spring, and then we had a trial and conference and all these things.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this fall, because I'm convinced that I want to do it on one of the equinoxes.
Okay, gotcha.
Spring
gotcha.
Or fall, but I really wanted to be on an equinox for certain reasons. And so I just keep pushing it off to the next one, and then eventually it'll happen.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you and your fiancé meet?
We actually met. We're one of those rare cases of OkCupid. It works, dude.
Hey, get it? Yeah. Go with what works, you know? Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome. So that's great. And I guess, yeah, just to close out, if you can just talk just a little about kind of what your day-to-day life entails. You know, you can go as much or a little detail as you want, but just with all this going on, kind of, you know, a glimpse into what your daily life looks like.
Sure. Well, work's been crazy lately. I feel like every waking hour we're focused on, you know, these kiddos and these costumes. With Spinraza happening at the same time, mm-hmm. I've had some challenges with spinal headaches after the taps and back pain. So I've been actually working a lot from bed. That's the glory of getting to work from home. Mm-hmm. So it's, I hope it doesn't show in my work, but yeah, I've been... usually in the morning, it's either an assistant or Scotty, my fiance. The first thing before I can even speak any words is dump coffee on me. get caffeinated, and then depending on how I'm feeling, I'll either try to sit up. I was having really bad spinal headaches this last week, so I was just caffeinating and laying flat and working in bed with my laptop. And every day is some variation of that, either working in bed or working in my wheelchair. It's a lot of work right now, so.
It sounds like it, and especially with, you know, that's certainly a lot to manage, but.
It's so much fun, and I'm hooked. I do it because I love it.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Christine, thank you for joining us today you know, sharing your story and everything. You can visit Magic Wheelchair at www.magicwheelchair.org. Where else can people find you on any public profiles?
Yeah, we are all over Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just Magic Wheelchair, no spaces. Should find us. We also have a recent video on Tested. Adam Savage from Mr. Richard S. in July. So if you want to get any fun reveal, go to tested.com as well, and you'll find Magic Wheelchair on there.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, Christine, again, thank you for joining us today. And thank you all listeners for joining us. The SMA News Today podcast will be a monthly show. And you can find all of our episodes here on SMANews.com, newstoday.com. Be sure to follow us for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer, host and community editor for SMA News Today. We will see you next time.